You're listening to Vatican Radio. As people across the United Kingdom were going to the polls on Thursday, here in the Vatican, Pope Francis met privately with Britain's ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, who had a farewell audience at the conclusion of almost 5 years in office. Ambassador Baker presented his credentials to Pope Benedict XVI in September 2011, shortly after Britain had seen an outbreak of rioting in London and other major cities. Since then, he has welcomed Queen Elizabeth II and many high-profile government delegations to the Vatican, as well as spearheading initiatives to highlight policies from brokering peace in Somalia to preventing sexual violence in conflict. Just after his papal audience, Ambassador Baker talked to me about the most memorable moments of his years here in the Vatican, about the challenges facing Britain today, and about the impact of Pope Francis's vision of a strong and united European continent. Looking back, you presented your credentials to one pope, a previous pope, didn't you, on your birthday in September 2011. And here you are saying goodbye to another pope on Referendum Day, arguably one of the most important dates in British history over recent decades. And in between, you've had an extremely busy and, I would say, significant 5 years. What for you have been perhaps the highlights of your time here?
I think whenever one gets a chance to meet Pope, it's always red letter day, be it a referendum day or a birthday as well. But there have been many, many highlights. Quite difficult to select, really. I suppose an obvious highlight for the embassy and for myself was a visit of Her Majesty the Queen in April 2014. Her Majesty doesn't travel very often these days. She's just celebrated her 90th birthday, after all. But I think she was very keen to get to know the new Pope, the first Pope from the New World. And after all, she had been meeting popes as Princess Elizabeth or as Queen since her first meeting with Pope Pius XII before her coronation. I think that was a very strong and important meeting. My sense is that Pope Francis and the Queen have enormous respect for each other. In fact, when I had the opportunity to talk to the Pope today, he made a point of invoking words of Pope John Paul II. He said, John Paul II used to say that Her Majesty has reigned with great dignity. And I think that's something with which we would all agree. But it was very striking that he chose the opportunity to mention that. So I think the visit of the Queen was a very special moment for the embassy. Clearly, for any ambassador of the Holy See, I think, wants to be here when there's a conclave. I had the particular fortune of being here for a conclave, but without losing a pope. Pope Emeritus is still with us, which is wonderful. But all that extraordinary period, the excitement, the speculation, the 6,000 journalists coming to Rome, the eyes of the world on a chimney pot on which a seagull is sitting, waiting for the smoke to rise. A really extraordinary, intense period here in Rome, when everybody in government, wider society, wanting to know what's going on, what's happening, what the developments are. And then, of course, this extraordinary transition from one pope to another, and the surprise of the pope from the other side of the world, the new way of looking at things, new way of taking things forward. And that's the really exciting period for an ambassador. Another thing that has been a highlight and a privilege is being able to celebrate the centenary of relations between Britain and the Holy See in 2014. I wonder whether those who came here in 1914, the special mission after many hundreds of years of not having diplomatic relations, would have imagined us celebrating the centenary with our bilateral relationship in such good shape. And I think being able to mark that moment was a really real privilege, and start the second century of re-established relations between Britain and the Holy See in a really very good place.
Now, as you say, those relations are very good. It was a private meeting this morning, wasn't it, with you, your wife, your son? But I'm wondering if you can tell us anything about your conversation. You mentioned already the Pope passing on his greetings and good wishes to Her Majesty, but is there anything else that you can share about your conversation this morning?
I think there is a difference between a meeting when you, as a new ambassador, you come to present credentials and when you are saying farewell. To present credentials, in a sense, you set out your stall. And there's usually a little bit more time, which is as it should be. Really, it was a chance today to thank Pope Francis and the entire Roman Curia through him for the help and support that the British Embassy received. We had a discussion about all the work he's doing to promote and support the family in all its different guises, which is something that was very important for ourselves.
Although significantly in Britain, the development regarding same-sex marriages means that the vision that the government has of family is very different from the one that he will be putting forward here in the Vatican.
No, I wouldn't say it's a very different vision. I mean, I think that we believe, as Pope Francis does, very firmly that the family is the bedrock of our society. Pope Francis himself has talked about family in all its many forms. So I think he's talked about the messy realities of life. Yes, I think it's fair to say that there is an ideal that the Roman Catholic Church puts forward in particular, and perhaps we would focus less on that ideal as a government. But I think fundamentally, my sense of the philosophy is very much the same, and the importance of family to society for the future and well-being of humanity. So I think, you know, it was an important issue for us to talk about. We also touched on a little bit on Latin America. My son was born in Bolivia. Pope Francis, the first pope from the Americas. My two previous postings were Bolivia and Cuba. So it was a chance to touch very briefly on a part of the world, obviously, that he knows best.
Were you speaking in Spanish to him?
We spoke in Spanish. We did, yes. It was the best lingua franca we found between us.
Now, you joke that as an ambassador, even though you're an Anglican, you go to more Catholic masses, perhaps, than many Catholics do. I'm just wondering, has this very up-close and personal perspective that you've had on the Catholic Church these past years in any way changed your view of it?
I feel I know the Catholic Church far, far better than I did when I came in September 2011, both in terms of its global presence and also in terms of its inner strength. I think inevitably a casual non-Catholic understanding of the Holy See, one picks up all sorts of bits and pieces. You pick up stories in the media, you may have some friends who are Catholic, you may know a little bit about you know, the history of the papacy, but that often is far, far less than the sum of its parts. You know, I found myself being very impressed by what the Holy See does, by the way that it manages to be both universal and local. You know, the strong local presence right down to the parish level, the lay people and the priest in the parish. And yet this probably the one institution in the world, certainly with the one leader in the world, that has a genuinely global view, more than the Secretary General of the United Nations or indeed any president or prime minister or monarch is able to have from the perspective of their own country. And so I think that combination of universality with local strength is very powerful. What I've certainly appreciated over the 5 years is how difficult it is to find the right balance between those two. And it's something that I saw sort of Pope Benedict working on, and Pope Francis as well, has been, I wouldn't say struggling with, but searching for the right balance. And it generates, of course, a huge debate on across many, many different issues amongst cardinals in the synod, amongst lay people, in the Catholic media and elsewhere. There probably isn't an ideal balance. It probably does change with the time, with the papacy, with the moment. But the way, what is clear is that the Holy See's approach to that balance, its presence globally as well as its presence locally, remains of fundamental importance and will continue to do so.
Looking specifically at Britain today, when you arrived 5 years ago, the country had just seen a summer of riots in London and other major cities, which we talked about, and talked about how this highlighted a deeply divided country, a real lack of social cohesion exacerbated by the financial crisis. Over these past 5 years, has there been progress towards tackling these problems, or are we perhaps in an even worse place today?
I recall very strongly, you know, that sort of hot summer of 2011, and there was the contrast, you know, the World Youth Day in Madrid taking place as well, more or less at the same time. It highlighted the importance of finding social cohesion, and I think the importance of governments being able to work with and listen to non-government organisations and leaders from other parts of society, including very much religious leaders, those important, profound messages that religious leaders are delivering. I think, you know, we have gone through a difficult economic period, that is clear, and 2011 was perhaps a manifestation of that. I think in many areas there's been great progress in the United Kingdom. in terms of prosperity. In terms of, if you look at unemployment figures, for example, are reasonably good. Of course, one always aims to get those figures down as low as possible, but I think at around 5.5% or so, that's very important. Pope Francis talks about the dignity of work and the importance of work. I think the successful holding of elections in 2010, the Scotland referendum, which actually brought people to say, no, we're better together than apart, which was a very important message. But then, there are also going to be areas and issues that continue to present real challenges to government across society. So I think what is important is that government, I think, is finding better ways to engage with different parts of society, including what I've seen very close up, religious leaders and others, than perhaps 5 years ago.
There are those who would argue that the referendum, whatever the results of today's vote, show a country more polarised than ever before about the destiny, the future of the country.
I think I'd say that it shows how passionate people are about the country. I'm sure, as after any election referendum campaign, there are some things that have been said that people will perhaps wish had not been said and will feel need patching up. But I think that whatever the result, one thing has been very positive is and we saw this at the Scotland referendum as well, actually, the political engagement by people of all backgrounds, of all classes, wanting to have their say, wanting politicians to represent them in the right way, wanting their country to take the right direction, and a real interest in the place, the future of Britain, the place of Britain in the world.
But we've also seen the murder of a Member of Parliament on the streets of Britain, something which deeply shocked the nation, I think.
It did, absolutely. And I'm quite right, I think, that the referendum campaign was suspended for at least a couple of days. As a result of that, Parliament was recalled, and the words of the Prime Minister, parliamentarians and others were very eloquent in both their horror at the act and their determination to make sure that parliamentarians can go about their business, yes, in the heat of debate and polemic, without facing the sort of danger and that sort of action that someone like Joe Cox faced. But I would say that after the referendum, there will have to be work to bring those very passionate voices, to find ways of perhaps drawing on those passions in a more unified way, looking ahead to the future. That certainly would be a good political challenge, and I hope one that our politicians would be looking to achieve.
You obviously can't comment on your own views or on the referendum generally, but Pope Francis, of course, has spoken very eloquently about his vision for Europe, rediscovering its social and its political identity on the world stage. What kind of impact do you think those words have had?
What he has said about Europe, both in his speech in Strasbourg 2 years ago now and his speech in receipt of the Charlemagne Prize, have been important. Lots of people say, Pope Francis isn't interested in Europe, he's the Pope of the periphery. I mean, I think that's nonsense, actually. I think he's shown how interested he is. I think he understands the role of Europe and the countries that make up the European family in the prosperity, stability of the world. We are collectively by far the greatest providers of development aid, humanitarian aid. I think many of the models of behaviour, the sort of social contract, social market economy, which Pope Francis talks about a lot in many countries in Europe, is something that functions really, with all the inevitable ups and downs, really, really pretty well. So I think he has spoken very eloquently. I remember when he spoke in Strasbourg, talking to a group of British parliamentarians about it. And these were parliamentarians right across the spectrum, from very Europhile in favour of Europe to the sceptics at the other end. And everybody, interestingly, found something they liked in Pope Francis' speech, which perhaps shows how well, actually, how attuned he and his senior advisers are to European debates. But I think nobody would dispute his fundamental message that there is an extraordinary role that we all have to play together in terms of ensuring stability, in terms of the success of Europe after the tragedy of World War II. And clearly, again, whatever any referendum result shows, that's not an achievement that anybody would want to lose.
Finally, your successor has already been appointed. I believe you've met her already, although she won't begin her mandate until sometime in the autumn. If you had one piece of advice to give her, what would that be?
I think it's perhaps a piece of advice that, that Pope Francis might also give, which should be quite humble, listen and learn. There's a huge amount to learn here. We often say that one of the reasons why we have an embassy here is because the Vatican is a great listening post on the world. We can learn things about what is happening in the world, why things are going on, by being here, by being at the centre of this extraordinary global network. In order to tap into this wonderful source of information and knowledge, one has to get to know people, one has to listen to people. Rather old-fashioned diplomacy, I think. And although, you know, modern technology, communication, all the rest of it are part of modern diplomacy.
And you were the first British ambassador to start blogging about your experiences here, weren't you, in terms of modern technology?
Trying to help people understand what I do all day. But, you know, despite this, and that's all important part of the job, actually good old-fashioned diplomacy, calling on people, listening and learning, is very much also part of the job. And she's a great professional. She'll do it. She will do a fantastic job. And this is one posting that allows you just to step back a couple of feet and get a feel for the broader view, which we can't always do in our career. And it's a wonderful opportunity, and above all, to enjoy this fascinating place.
Ambassador Nigel Baker, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Nigel Baker, the outgoing British ambassador to the Holy See.